We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program, coming to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station at the South Point Studios, and of course the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube, at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. We welcome you to the show, as well as all of you running around on a beautiful morning here in Las Vegas, listening to us through our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. We also want to welcome all of you listening to us on all of those other platforms, like our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, and your Google phone with your apps that you can get at your app store for the YouTube app that you can see and hear us, and of course, also the KSHP app from the radio station that you can hear us through the radio station as well, and anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome to the show, the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on this Saturday before the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes. Although we got to really stop saying the middle jewel of the Triple Crown for this year anyhow, because there's no chance at a Triple Crown. The Kentucky Derby winner is not going, as you know. Sovereignty is making his way to Saratoga in preparation for the Belmont Stakes that will be held at Saratoga this year again. So we welcome you to the show. But we do have Preakness news. As you remember, 1 week yet to go to the Preakness. They draw for the Preakness Stakes on Monday. And as we were discussing yesterday on the show, one was wondering why Bob Baffert, in getting a horse that has limited experience, a horse that broke its maiden and then won a other than allowance race, to put that horse in in a big stakes race like the Preakness Stakes. And, of course, we now know why. His major horse, the Wood Memorial winner, Rodriguez, who was scratched from the Kentucky Derby because of a quarter crack, has not healed properly enough, nor did Bob Baffert say he had time enough to prepare Rodriguez to complete Pete at his highest level in the Preakness Stakes. Therefore, Bob Baffert has scratched Rodriguez from the middle jewel. He didn't go in the Kentucky Derby, and he will now not go in the Preakness Stakes. Hopefully, they'll have him ready for the Belmont Stakes, which is, of course, 4 weeks away from today. So Rodriguez has been scratched from the Preakness Stakes and therefore gold-oriented, undefeated, with two wins out of two starts, will be Bob Baffert's entrant to try to make 9 Preakness wins for Bob Baffert. He already has 8. He has the record. He's going to extend that record with gold-oriented. Again, a horse who's only had 2 starts, 2 spectacular wins, though, however. That horse will be going in the Preakness Stakes representing Bob Baffert, as Rodriguez has been scratched. They say he just didn't have enough time to prepare him after the injury healed as much as they could have in preparation for the Preakness Stakes 1 week from today. Rodriguez is out. So, with the Kentucky Derby winner, Sovereignty, and now Rodriguez going to get ready for the Belmont Stakes, we're still waiting to see the final decision on journalism who finished second in the Kentucky Derby. We'll find out more about that briefly. You've got to make a decision by Monday when they enter the horses. As far as some of the other big horses around the country, Good Cheer, the winner of the Kentucky Oaks, she is preparing for the Acorn Stakes. That is, of course, the equivalent to the Kentucky Oaks and the Black Eyed Susans. They have the Acorn. That'll come up on the weekend of the Belmont Stakes, along with the Belmont Stakes race. So the Acorn is the next stop for Good Cheer as she puts her undefeated record on the line after winning the Kentucky Oaks. And Grande, a horse who was scratched from the Kentucky Derby. And they're waiting for more tests to find out just how Grande, as far as they said he had an injury, so to speak, and now they're waiting. He was scratched from the Kentucky Derby, but they're going to do more tests on Grande to see where he might go next. Now, he's not considered for the Preakness Stakes, but he is obviously considered for the Belmont Stakes, so we'll wait and see about Grande. Grande, of course, owned by Mike Rapoli and trained by Todd Pletcher, so we'll wait and see about that. I guess the big news of the day, and I really hope you're sitting down, folks. Junior Alvarado, the triumphant jockey who rode Sovereignty to victory in the Kentucky Derby, has been handed a $62,000 fine and a 2-day suspension for a crop violation in the Kentucky Derby. Now, as you know, Heise's rules for the whipping, the crops, the whipping, is a limit of 6 hits in a race. You can only hit your horse 6 times in a race. Well, Mr. Alvarado, in his intensified driving to win the America's most famous horse race, hit Sovereignty 8 times in the race. He was 2 over in the race. Hence, the authorities, HISA, and their crop regulation, has fined him $62,000 for that. They say that Alvarado, this is the 9th time since HISA has been created that Alvarado has been in violation of the crop rule. All right, okay. Now, the jocks fee usual jocks fee in a race, a big stakes race, is 10% of what the winner gets. So the winner got $3.1 million for the win. So Junior Alvarado's take was $310,000. So consequently, he got a 20% fine of $62,000 for whipping Sovereignty two more times in the Kentucky Derby. Now, folks, here's an old-fashioned whip right here. This is an old-fashioned whip. This is the one that I used to wear when in another lifetime when I galloped horses. You can see there's little feathers on the end here, and these are the ones that really stung and hurt, okay? They are no longer. Those whips are no longer. You cannot use those whips. They're illegal. The whips they have now are just about like you would, you know, roll up a newspaper and hit a horse. But they have the popping sound, a startling popping sound. And the popping sound is what gets the attention of the horse when you want him to do something he's not doing. So that's the whip, all the whips nowadays, but that's the whip that Junior Alvarado used in the Kentucky Derby, the most famous horse race in America, the one that a jockey wants to win no matter what to make his career, all right? And he was in a battle with journalism right to about the 16th pole before he pulled away. And so as a result of whipping him two more times in the Kentucky Derby, he gets a $62,000 fine and two-day suspension. He'll serve that suspension on the 29th and 30th of May. And they say that the fine was levied as harsh as it was because it was the ninth time that he's violated this since Heise began this rule. I'm going to leave it up to you to think about this. I know Jonathan Ardoon, this is Saturday. I know he has a thought about this. I know it's not Wednesday, but we're going to put him on a small soapbox today to discuss this. Junior Alvarado's fine. Finally, on another jockey, a gentleman that's won over 4,370 races, Patrick Valenzuela, who hasn't ridden a horse in competition in a horse race in 8.5 years and is now 62 years old, is planning a comeback riding in Southern California. He's galloping horses now in Southern California and plans to start his comeback at Del Mar. Pat Valenzuela. From 1978 to 2016, this guy was a real race rider, winning 4,372 races. Been away for 8.5 years. We know the problems he's had with substance abuse, etc. But he is now coming back, rejuvenated, he says, at 62 years old. And that's some of the crazy news in horse racing today. Now, as far as what happened yesterday, it was kind of a weird day of racing yesterday, that's for sure. When you look at the races at Santa Anita, they were short fields, okay? The Santa Anita races were short fields, but yet we had a bunch of crazy results. We'll start off at Belmont at Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct, Flavian Pratt got three winners. He won the first race at $8.50, capped off the last race of the day, the ninth race, for his third win at $3.90. And between those in the seventh race, he won with Certified Lover Boy, paying $5.40. That was part of the entry that Jerry Jackowitz gave out on the show. Remember, he said either the 1 or the 1A, they both went. So if you bet one, you got the other, and this was the winner. So Jerry gets his win for us at Belmont at Aqueduct yesterday. In a short field, Certified Lover Boy pays $5.40 for Fernando Abreu. Earlier in the sixth race, Jonathan Ardoon came with a winner for us. In a depleted race showed just no more, I think four horses went in the race. The winner there was All Class, who won easily for Eric Cancel and Linda Rice, paying $3.70. So Jonathan and Jerry Jackowitz combined for a rolling double, if you put those two together, for both those winners. The $2 double paid $8.60. And that's just about the way it was yesterday at Aqueduct. However, there were a few horses in these races that paid enough to make the pick six pay a little bit over $4,000. Mark Hennig, the trainer Mark Hennig, had a couple of wins along with Kendra Carmouche. They teamed up together to win the third race at $6.30 and the fourth race at $6 even. And that's what happened yesterday at Aqueduct. at Churchill Downs yesterday. Jose Ortiz had three wins, and so did Luis Saez. Luis Saez started out the day in the first race at $5.52. For trainer Joe Sharp's first win of the day, came back in the third race for Brendan Walsh, paying $12.24. Remember, they pay down to the penny. And then Saez got his third win of the day in the fifth race of the day. He won three out of the first five races for Norm Cassie, paying $5.28. Jose Ortiz won the fourth race for Steve Asmussen at $6.96. Came back in the seventh race to give Joe Sharp his second win of the day, and Ortiz's second win of the day at $4.92 in the seventh race. And in the eighth race, Jose Ortiz won for Mark Cassie, paying $5.84. A lot of short prices yesterday at Churchill Downs. Only the second and ninth races were considered long shots, but the pick six paid over $5,800 at Churchill Downs yesterday. And at Santa Anita, small short fields produced odds-on favorites, and most of them went down the drain. In the first race, a 1-5 shot outworked when they opened the starting gate, sat there in the starting gate, and never left the gate. This horse stood in the starting gate at the break as the even money favorite in the race. The winner of the first race was a $29.80 winner for Amanda Ayuso and Ryan Hansen. The second race winner was a $2.80 winner for Steve Miotti. And then come the fourth race, Antonio Frasu had his first win of the day for Steve Knapp, paying $10 even. The favorite went down the drain in that race as well. And the favorite finished off the board in the third race as well. So the favorites weren't doing well in those short fields yesterday. In the fifth race, Mike Smith got home for Cliff Sice at 11:40. The pick five of $29.80, $2.80, $11, $10, and $11.40 paid $2,480.15. Exempt of the first race winner, the $29 horse, the pick four paid $157.60. That was a difference of $2,322.55 in getting that $29 winner in the first race. Antonio Frasu's got his second win of the day for Phil D'Amato in the seventh race at $23.20. John Lindo's horse finished second in that one. And then Giovanni Franco capped off the day by winning the last two races. He won the eighth race at $16.80 and the ninth and final race at $28.60. Put all of that together, the late pick five, starting out at $11.40, $20.40, $23.20, $16.80, and $28.60. The pick five, the highest payoff in the nation yesterday, for 50 cents, paid $47,835.75. And yes, there is a carryover in the pick six at Santa Anita today. It is opening day today at Monmouth Park from the shores of New Jersey. And we have our handicappers ready to go. Jonathan Hardoon, of course, and John Lendo, Rich Eng, and Jerry Jackowitz, and your racing menu yet to come. And, of course, Jonathan's soapbox for today. So don't go away. We got plenty to cover on this Saturday show. We'll be right back. Get chatting on the chat box at the YouTube South Point Studios streaming. And if you're not already a chatter, just subscribe. It's free. Get in the chat box and enjoy. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
We'll be right back.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Weather? Oh, it's beautiful here today in Las Vegas. Right now it's 75 degrees outside and the sun is shining bright. We're going to get up to 99 degrees today in Las Vegas, and this is the way it's going to be for the rest of the weekend. As far as the rest of the country, Miami is 85, New York is 74, and it's got some off weather as far as the racetrack is concerned. In Chicago, 70 degrees and sunny and bright. Southern California, 97. It's going to be 97 today in L.A. And in Phoenix, Arizona, the hot spot of the nation, 103 degrees. And now we get started as far as the precipitation is concerned. Most of it is in the southeastern quadrant of the United States. And there's plenty of action going on in New York, etc., right up to the northeast. So we'll wait and see there. We do know that today at Aqueduct, as far as the racing conditions are concerned, they say it is mostly cloudy, 59 degrees. The track is labeled good, and the two turf courses, the outer and inner turf courses, are labeled good. However, there are two races of the four races on the turf today that come off the turf, and we'll give them to you as we give you the racing menu for today, reminding you, as we always do, first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's how they'll roll out here. In our racebook today, we are in the Pacific time zone. If you're listening on many different time zones around the world, just adjust to whatever time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone, and you'll get the post times right for you. Anyhow, so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go with the racing menu for today. We begin with Pimlico Racecourse, Old Hilltop in Maryland. 10 races today at Pimlico, and a first post time of 9:10, 9:10 at Pimlico today. Churchill Downs, Louisville, Kentucky. Churchill Downs has a pick six jackpot carryover of $46,144. They have 11 races today. Their feature race is the Mamzelle. It's at 5.5 furlongs on the turf for three-year-old fillies. If it stays there on the turf, that's the 10th race on the card. 17 are entered, so you know there's late scratches coming. 11 races at Churchill. First post time is at 9:45, 9:45 at Churchill. And then we go to Gulfstream Park, whose pick six jackpot carryover, the rainbow jackpot carryover at Gulfstream today, stands at $21,357. 10 races, a couple of $100,000 stakes races. The Royal Palms Juvenile Fillies on the turf at 5 furlongs is the sixth. And the Royal Palms Juvenile on the turf is the 10th race on the card for the two-year-olds there. First post time at Gulfstream Park for their 10 races is set at 9:50 at Gulfstream Park. Monmouth Park, it's opening day from the shores of New Jersey. Monmouth Park has a first post time of 9:50. Their traditional opening day features the Long Branch Stakes. That'll be the ninth on the card at 1.70 miles for three-year-olds. $100,000 event there. And the 5-2 favorite is Pascaline. First post time at Monmouth on opening day is set at 9:50. Woodbine, north of the border, they've got 10 races today at Woodbine, and their first post time is set at 10:05 at Woodbine today. Then we get to Belmont at Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct, you know the conditions there. First post time is 10:10. They've got 11 races there, 5 great stakes races today at Aqueduct. The second race will be the first one, the $400,000 Grade 2 Man of War, set at 1.375 miles on the inner turf course. It stays on the turf. 5 go to the post in that race. 3-5 favorite is Far Bridge. Then we go to the sixth race on the card. That comes off the turf. It'll be run at the corresponding distance of 6 furlongs on the main track. The seventh race is the Grade 3 John A. Nehrud, 6 furlongs. 6 go to the post in that race. 6-5 favorite there is What You Talking About with I. Red Ortiz Jr. The eighth race comes off the turf from 1.16 miles, will now be run at a flat mile on the main track. The ninth race is the $150,000 Take the A-Train Stakes at 6 furlongs on the outer turf. In that race, 11 go to the post, and it's a wide-open event, too, by morning line standards. The 7-2 favorite is Hey Bertie. Then we go to the 10th race, the Grade 2 Ruffian at 1 mile for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up, a field of 11 before it scratches. And in this race, the favorite at also at 7-2 is My Main Squeeze, Manny Franco. The 11th race is the Peter Pan, the Grade 3 Peter Pan at 1.18 miles for three-year-olds. This the traditional stepping stone for the Belmont Stakes. The Peter Pan has 10 in it. and before any scratches, of course. 5-2 favorite in this, make that the 2-1 favorite in this race is Captain Cook with Manny Franco. First post time for the 11 races at Belmont at Aqueduct is set at 10:10. 10:10 at Belmont at Aqueduct. Then we go to Santa Anita. Santa Anita has 9 races today. Their feature race is the Siren Lure. That'll be the 5th on the card. 6 furlongs on the turf for 4-year-olds and up. In this race, 6 are entered. There might be a late scratch on Ion Rye, however. The 9-5 favorite in the race will be Brian with Umberto Rispoli. 9 races today at Santa Anita. And Santa Anita's carryover in their pick 6. Regular pick 6 stands at $67,675. $67,675 in the Santa Anita pick 6 carryover, okay? And that the first post time for the 9 races is set at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Then we go to Emerald Downs. They have 8 races there. Pick 5 carryover, $2,723. 8 races in the first post time of $150 at Emerald Downs. Following that comes Evangeline Downs. They have 9 races. Their first post time is at $330. Then we go to Charlestown. Charlestown has a pick 6 jackpot carryover, $3,521. Their first post time for 9 races, 4 p.m. Their feature, they got a feature race today, the $75,000 coin collector stakes at 4.5 furlongs for 3-year-olds. That'll be the 8th on the card at Charlestown. Again, their first post time is at 4 p.m. And then we wrap it up at Los Alamitos in Southern California. Los Al has a first post time of 6:05. 2 thoroughbreds, 3 mixed breeds, and 5 quarter horse races make up Los Al's 10-race card, and a first post time of 6:05 there. And that is your racing menu for today. Now we're going to go out to Mr. Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm fine, but I'll let you have the stage. Go ahead, soapbox, buddy.
Well, everyone heard what happened. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. First of all, Ralph, the whole idea of 6 whips, where did they come up with this number? It's an arbitrary number. No one did a study and decided after 6 whips it's going to make an effect. That's first of all. Second of all, why should a 5-furlong race you allowed 6 whips and a 1.25 you're allowed 6 whips? That makes no sense either. Third of all, why take the biggest day, one of the most successful derbies we've had in a long, long time, and put this nonsense out? First of all, people that aren't like so familiar with the game, they're going to read, well, the jockey was fined. Oh, it must have been a fixed race. Just all bad news for no reason. There's no common sense here, Ralph. You're in the heat of a battle. It's a 20-horse field. You're coming down the stretch. The biggest race of your life. The biggest race of the year. And then you're going to start counting whips? Give me a break.
Well, that's what Junior said. Junior said he had no idea how many times he hit the horse because he wasn't counting. He said, I had a few other things on my mind. No kidding.
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's really just, you know, the good news is one good news out of this whole thing. Heise is exposed to how stupid this rule is. If it was a Thursday afternoon at Aqueduct or in parks, no one would even know about it. But they had to roar their ugly, stupid rule in the biggest race of the year. It just is so dumb. And again, it doesn't help anybody. All it does is hurt the game when the game needs all the help they could get.
There is a way of solving this problem. First of all, I think we ought to educate the people out there who think that the horses are being abused. Educate them on the structure of the whip that these guys are using. That they're
it's a popping sound, like you said, Ralph. It's a Nerf whip. How about a better rule, Ralph? If you finish first, second, or third, and you're within 2 lengths, all the whip rule goes out the window. You have to try to win at every possible whatever it takes. You can't be coming down the stretch head and head and the guy says, oops, this is going to be 7. I can't whip again. Nonsense.
Yeah, because then the integrity of the game starts being questioned.
Exactly.
And, you know, here's what they ought to do. Look, if a jockey is excessively whipping, like 15 times or something, you could see it in a race, then you call them out and say you're going to get fined for that. But what you ought to do is just let them hit the horses the way they perceive it the best to be and the conditions that they're racing under. And then if you have any qualms whatsoever, when the horse gets back to the receiving barn, you examine him. If there's any welts or anything, then he gets a big fine.
Right.
But if the horse, you know, I mean, otherwise, if there's no damage to the horse, then fine. Some horses need more encouragement than others, and some horses need the whip, the popping sound to keep them straight in the race, etc. There's a lot of different factors to using this whip besides the most egregious one that they're afraid of with the PETA and all that. That it makes no sense. There's got to be a common ground. They've got to get together. They have to, you know, they got to sit down and work out something better. There's no doubt about that.
It's the only sport in the world where you get penalized for trying harder. It makes no sense.
Well, we have now settled that problem. Now, let me ask you a question. Godolphin, who is the owner of Sovereignty, and winning the Kentucky Derby when you take this stallion to the breeding shed means a lot more in the breeding industry. They're going to make a lot more money because he won the Kentucky Derby.
They're paying the bill is your answer.
My question is, you think they're going to give Alvarado the 62 Gs to cover this fine?
It would be the classy move. By the way, not only is this stupid rule, but they doubled the fine because it was his second infraction in 180 days or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So all they did was expose themselves to how stupid this rule really is.
Right. They exposed themselves, I think, to not understanding the sport they're adjudicating.
And if they can't get it right, who the hell's going to get it right?
Well, obviously, I think that maybe the jocks and the horsemen have to sit there and say, listen, let's take a look at this rule again and let's have a conversation about this and get it right. Anyhow, we now move on to today. What's going on at Aqueduct now? They say the track is labeled good. Did you have rain overnight? What's the deal? I mean,
well, it poured all day yesterday, Ralph, and into last night and the night before. So two races are off the turf, the 6th and the 8th. They left the two stake races on the grass. It's in the 50s going up to the 70s, but it's real windy. So that'll certainly help dry the track out. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, that'll dry the track and the turf course out if the wind is right. In play there. All right, so we have five stakes races today. We already talked about the Man of War. We talked about all these races earlier in the week, but the Man of War just likes a layover for Far Bridge if he shows up.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a five-horse field, Ralph. Again, I said it yesterday, Far Bridge, obviously the horse to beat. It's probably a good race to watch and not bet.
Or if you got to play the early pick four, early pick five, just single them and move on. Okay, so now we get the John Nayrud we talked about as well. You got a favorite at 6-5 there. What you talking about with Irate Ortiz Jr.? But I'm just going to take one more, that I did the other day. Anarchist, who Doug O'Neill decided to bring from the west to the east coast, is in this race. And I don't think O'Neill is there for a roast beef sandwich.
I agree with you, Ralph. He's rounding back into form. The interesting thing about the favorite in here, what you're talking about, is he's coming off of Lasix. And his last three races, all on Lasix, were the best races of his career. So let's see what's going to happen. And I don't know if you really want to take him at a short price. He looks a little better than the rest, but your horse certainly has a chance.
Okay, and then we move to the take the A-Train Stakes at 6 furlongs on the outer turf. It stays on the turf. There are 11 in it before any scratches. Do you have any scratches in that race?
Two late scratches there, Ralph. The 1, Bernetti Manor, and the 9, Serving Time. They'll both be running next week in some stake races. Anyway, this is the first of our two official radio plays.
Okay.
And I love the number 6 horse in here, Aniscal, a 3-year-old filly from the Christopher Clement barn. Her last race was last November 2nd at Aqueduct on this turf course, and she ran a huge figure. She's been freshened ever since. She's working well. 9-2 on the morning line. I ride Ortiz aboard to ride. I like number 6, Aniscal, to upset and win today's 9th race.
All right. Take that A train right to Aniscal. Aniscal, the 6 in the 9th race. And then the 10th race we get to is the Ruffian Stakes at a flat 1 mile, one turn, 1 mile on the configuration of the racetrack there. For 4-year-olds and up, fillies and mares, a field of 11. Any scratches there?
4 late scratches, Ralph. Take out the 1, Take the Money Honey. Take out the 3, Catherine Wheel. Take out the 6, Dazzling Move. Take out the 7, Claret Barrett. I like the number 4 horse in here, Sterling Silver. But Bill Mott, Javier Castellano, this horse loves this track, likes moisture in it as well. 2-for-4 at the distance with a second. She's listed at 9-2 on the morning line. I like number 4, Sterling Silver, to win today's 10th.
All right, Javi Castellano by number 4, Sterling Silver. The 10th race, number 4, Sterling Silver, the Ruffian. And then we wrap it up with the Belmont Stakes prep race in New York, the 11th race, the final race of the day, at a mile and 1/8 for 3-year-olds, the Peter Pan. 10 in that, any scratches?
No, the 10 horse, Lordship, is scratched, leaves a field of 9. I'm going to go for a flyer here, Ralph. Number 5, McAfee, a 3-year-old called for the Richard Dutro barn. Blinkers go on today. This is an improving horse. He was beaten last time out in the Wood Memorial by his uncoupled entry here, the 8, Captain Cook, who will be the favorite. But I think McAfee at the price may be the right play.
All right, McAfee, this 5 horse in the 11th race is the play in the Peter Pan. And, of course, Jonathan, you have a full sheet there for Belmont at Aqueduct at your website. Now we'll get some other picks. Where are we going next?
Let's go to Santa Anita, race 8. Everybody needs a single in this pick 6. And I like the number 3 horse in here, My Bucket List. The 5-year-old gelding goes for Antonio Garcia today. I like the barn switch. I like Tiago Pierre riding 3-1 on the morning line. I like number 3, My Bucket List, as a pick 6, pick 5 single. Today's 8th race out at Santa Anita.
Wow, you picked a race that looked very difficult on paper to a lot of people. The 8th race, an 11-horse field in that before any scratches. And the morning line favorite is your horse, but that's 3-1 on the morning line. My Bucket List with Tiago Pierre, who has been winning races rather frequently at Santa Anita right now, hasn't he?
He's on a bit of a roll, so let's catch the hot rider at the right time.
Okay, 8th race, number 3, My Bucket List. If you can single and get that thing past the pick 6, you can really spread in the other races, that's for sure. 8th race, number 3, My Bucket List. And I think you carried, covered the entire bucket with your soapbox today. Hey, you got 4 sheets, though, today, don't you? Or 3? 3 sheets?
No, 3. Aqueduct, Churchill, and Santa Anita.
Aqueduct, Churchill, and Santa Anita. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Jonathan. I'm sure you ruffled a few feathers out there, but that's the way soapboxes are supposed to work, anyhow. These are our...
Well, we told it like it was. We spoke from the heart, and that's the way I feel, and that's the way it is.
Well, yeah, I do not feel any different than you do as far as, re-looking at the rule and making some adjustments to it, because, like you said, not only...
Listen, they looked at other rules. They looked at other medication rules, and they changed them. But for some reason, they're just steadfast on keeping this 6-whip nonsense alive, and it's ridiculous.
Because, forget about all of the other things, but the horse, each horse is different. Some horses are bigger, some horses are small, anyhow, I don't want to get into it again.
We could be here all day discussing this.
I just want to talk about horse racing and picking winners, and you've done so. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Stay safe and be well, Ralph. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back, and Rich Eng is standing by, and when we get back with Richie, we'll talk a little bit about Santa Anita again as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village, this beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grand View Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grand View Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grand View Lounge.
When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book, South Point Studio.
This is the best sports betting network.
I would argue it is a total mismatch.
There's value with underdog prices in series.
I would lean to the under here.
My numbers are saying I got to bet the Tigers.
Two-way action.
When in doubt, we juice that favorite, that extra nickel.
Sports by the Book, South Point Studio.
Forget about it. The best.
Las Vegas, and I want to remind everybody out there that Rich Eng, of course, cannot be with us this morning. He has a small little emergency to handle. Nothing too serious, though, folks. But he does have a sheet. He's got a handicapping sheet for Santa Anita. For Santa Anita today, he has all nine races on that, and it's available at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites, okay? So Richie's selections are there. Now, Richie did give us a horse. And it comes in the first race of the day at Santa Anita. Now, the first race post time is 1 o'clock this afternoon Pacific time. 1 o'clock this afternoon Pacific time. And in that first race, Richie likes the two-horse Free and Humble. The two-horse Free and Humble with Umberto Rispoli aboard. It's a mile race on the turf. And number two, Free and Humble, is the play there in the first race at Santa Anita. Richie's play is the two-horse in the first race, Santa Anita. Remember, he's got a full sheet. Available today at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. Now, we're looking ahead to next week as far as the races at Pimlico are concerned. And the big day, of course, is Saturday, and Pimlico is going to have a ton of races on that Saturday. And the races that are scheduled for 1 week from today at Pimlico on Preakness Day include the Chick Lang, the Dinner Party Stakes, the Gallarette, the James W. Murphy, the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, the Maryland Sprint, the Skip Pat, and the Sir Barton, and of course the Preakness Stakes, the Grade One there. And it'll all be next Saturday, and of course next Friday will be the Black Eyed Susan's Day. They'll have several stakes races on that card, including the Pimlico Special there. So as the Kentucky Derby has done, as the Belmont Stakes will do, on the weekend where they have the big races, the Triple Crown races, they'll have a bunch of stakes races on the Friday and Saturday. So it'll be great racing there. And the Preakness Stakes will draw on Monday, okay? We're going to go to our next break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up with John Lindo and Jerry J. So don't do it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for the final segment of this Saturday, turning you out to the races today. And all I can say is John Lindo did 29 races over the night for today, and he has three different segment sheets. So we'll get right to John. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
A lot of work there you did, buddy, overnight.
I'm ready to play. It's Saturday at the races. Let's go.
All right. You got a full sheet at San Anita, a full Linda report at San Anita that includes a suggested late pick four and all the goody information we talk about. That's one full Linda report. That's available here at the South Point free of charge. Then you went on to do the last five races at Belmont Park that included those stakes races, four of the stakes races there. You did four stakes races. That's right. You did four out of the five, the late pick five at Belmont at Aqueduct. You've got that on one Linda report that is free of charge here at the South Point. And then at Churchill Downs, you did a late pick five at Churchill Downs as well. The last five races at Churchill Downs that includes the Mamzelle Stakes, the 10th race there. And that had to be a toughie because they are full fields there at Churchill. And you also have that available. All of those are available right here at the South Point, only at the South Point here in Las Vegas, the only place you can get the Linda Report here in Vegas free of charge. And it's here at the South Point Racebook free of charge because they love horse players. That Churchill, it must have been a little bit of a challenge there, buddy.
Yeah, it's a good sequence. It's a good gambling sequence, and that's what I was looking for. So I'm going to play it. So we put it on paper here. And, you know, there's a chance that could pay pretty well. There's a couple of real spread races and a couple places where I took a stand. So I think it's a good sequence to try it anyways.
John, in looking at your report for Churchill in the last pick five, that's exactly how the structure of your suggested late pick five sets up. That structure, I looked at that structure and I said, okay, he's going to take a stand. I'll just give away the thought that you're going to take a stand in two of the five races. If you get by those, you got a monster chance of hitting this thing.
Well, that's the thing. Every pick five rolling wager comes up different, and this one was, okay, there could be havoc on a couple of races, and that's what you're looking for to get a nice payoff. If I have an opinion and I have a couple on that sequence, okay, let's work around those. If I'm right, great. If not, I'll try again the next day. But, you know, you have to try and take advantage of your opinions wherever they show up, whatever track, whatever race, and maximize the value.
Not to mention the opinion, but also how you structure the pick five to make the most out of the opinion and the races with the randomness in it. And of course, the last pick five at Belmont Park with four of the stakes races in it. And, that one looks good as well. Out of the four stakes races, of course, the Peter Pan is the one for the three-year-olds we're looking at for the Belmont Stakes. But I don't see any one of these horses, unless they pop up real big in the Peter Pan, being a factor when all the other big leaguers show up in the Belmont.
Well, we'll have to see. The one horse you want to watch when you think Belmont is number four, Hill Road, for Chad Brown. He's the horse that ran third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year, finished really well, and then has had a little couple stop and starts. Had a good prep race at Tampa Bay, missed the Bluegrass, and is showing up here. He's a horse that I think wants to run a mile and a quarter, but he's got to really take a step forward today to get to that point. So he's the horse to watch if you're looking for something to show up at Saratoga and the Belmont Stakes.
John, your thoughts about Doug O'Neill sending Anarchist across country to run in the John Nayrud?
Well, he's been stabled back in his Kentucky stable for quite a while, so it's not a shipping just for the Nayrud today.
All right.
He's been on the Midwest already, and it made sense to try that race.
Okay. And, of course, now we get to Santa Anita, and, of course, we got the Siren Lure going on at Santa Anita today, and it looks like you got to get by Brand.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a small field. It's a tactical race. Air Force Red, we have to find out, will he be as good on the flat turf course sprinting as he is coming down the hill? And you have Brand coming off a layoff. When he's right, he's very good. Final Boss, maybe a little bit of an overlooked in here. He's a horse that runs well fresh. And from the inside, he ought to work out a good trip right behind the speed. But with a small field, it's going to be a tactical race.
John, you did three different separate sheets, and you got three different separate picks for us. So where are we going first?
I tell you what, let's go to Belmont Park, then we'll go to Churchill, and we'll finish off at Santa Anita.
Okay.
Belmont Park today, race 10, that's the grade 2 ruffian. I like the comeback race for my main squeeze in the 8 bells at Churchill Downs last time. She's 3-for-4 at Aqueduct. She draws outside, and in a race without a ton of early speed with the scratches, she's going to be right on top of the leaders. I think she gets a good trip in here, 7-2 in the program. You take the price if you can get it. Number 10, My Main Squeeze, race 10 at Belmont.
All right, the Ruffian, My Main Squeeze, the 10 in the 10th race at Belmont at Aqueduct. Next.
Let's go in that pick 5 at Churchill, race number 9. This will be one of the singles for me. Number 6, Orizonte, a horse that's getting better with every start. Got beat pretty far last time, but the horse that beat him just a touch, he's a good one. And he was running away from the rest of the field that day. He's gotten better as the distances get longer. He goes further today. I think he'll like that even better. 9-2 in the program, a very square price for number 5, Orizonte, race number 9, Churchill Downs.
All right, so one of your singletons in that sequence. In the 9th race, you like the 5, Orizonte, the 5 in the 9th race at Churchill. And we wrap it up in SoCal on a beautiful day at Santa Anita.
I'm going to go to the 8th race at Santa Anita, like John Hardoon did, and it tells you something. I'm going to a restricted $5,000 claimer on a Saturday at Santa Anita. Not my favorite kind of race, but number 7, Divine Rascal, got shuffled back badly down on the inside last time. Mm-hmm. Finished well, got beat 2 lengths after all the trouble. He can make amends against a bad field here today with a little racing luck. 7-2 on the program. Number 7, Divine Rascal, 8th race today at Santa Anita.
And gets the services of William Anton Georgie, who does very well on these type of races at Santa Anita right now. In the 8th race, the 7, Divine Rascal, the 7, is John Lendo's play. He gave me a Sirocco play, you and Jonathan both. So in the 8th race, the Sirocco play is the exacta box of 3773. Jonathan's the 3, and you are the 7. And you can get all of that information, Santa Anita, Aqueduct, and Churchill Downs right now here at the South Point Racebook free of charge. Thanks a lot for the work there, John. Let's go to the races, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Good luck today, Ralph.
You got it. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by, hatless this morning, I might add. Jerry, good morning.
Ooh. Well, when you have beautiful hair like me, you know. Every now and then you got to show it off.
All right, you got it, my man. Well,
I'm sporting the colors of the BGK, so they're a little outgunned, a little outmanned, a little outsped on the ice, but they got a lot of heart.
Yes, they are, and you're right. They do have a lot of heart, so we're rooting for them to make a little bit of a comeback here in this round.
We need to support them and give them a little extra, whatever it is, psychic support.
Anyhow, we had little to work with yesterday, but you got the job done, and it was not a bad price for that horse either. And now we go to a Belmont at Aqueduct today. 5 stakes races. Does any one of them really stand out to you?
Not really. Just really good horse races. The 6 and 8 are off the turf. Just keep that in mind.
Right. Okay. Then we'll get right to work to the picks.
I would say one thing. I do like McAfee a little bit in the Peter Pants.
Okay, the 11th race, you like McAfee, which is number 5, 8-1 on the morning line. That's the 5 in the 11th race, the Peter Pan. All right, what do you got for selections?
Well, let's go to the first, Ralph, today at Aqueduct. Let's get started right in the first. Aqueduct Acoustic Avenue, offered 3-1 for Linda Rice, Lascano up, coming off a claim, off a layoff. Just looks faster than these, and at 3-1, it's or 5-2, it's really decent value, actually. I'll take the 5 over the 3-4-6, reverse 3-4-6 over the 5. We'll take the 5 in the first at
All
the
right,
Big
first,
A.
First race at Belmont at Aqueduct goes at 10:10 a.m. Pacific time. 10:10 in the first race. You like the 5. The link-ups are 3, 4, and 6, and reverse the 5. Acoustic Avenue is your play in the opener at Aqueduct, and now we go to Santa Anita.
By the way, I have a Sirocco play now in the 10th at Aqueduct because I have a pop-out key in that race to go with John's My Main Squeeze, just a little tease.
Okay, and I think I know what it is. Go.
Yeah, I know you know.
All right, San Anita.
Let's go to the 8th race.
Okay.
Something we really love, a little golf drama, the 8 horse. Now, I know you got 2 other horses in here, so you're going to get a nice Sirocco trifecta box.
I guess I like am. Go ahead.
I like the 5 over the 3, 7, 8, and 10. Reverse 3, 7, 8, and 10 over the 5. Obviously, I have the 3, and I have the 3 and the 7 in there, so we're all on the same page.
Okay.
I just like the 5.
All right, 8th race, big race for our handicappers. The 8th race, Jerry comes with the 5 over 3. 7, 8, and 10, and reverse. You know what to do, folks. There's a lot of action going on with our handicappers there, and Jerry J's Power Pages for all of Santa Anita and all of Belmont at Aqueduct available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. one more thing to say, Jerry, say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Cilotto at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.